An engineer who doesn't understand how important it is to bring Alpha back to life. Habib dreaded asking Urbain's permission. He knew he could not stand up to his chief's wrath. Why has Timoshenko put me in this position? He asked himself. He should go to Urbain himself. Why is he making me do it? Why did I agree to do it? Urbain's office door was less than 20 meters away, and Habib slowed his pace, approaching it. Then he saw Negroponte leaving Urbain's office and stepping out into the hallway. She looked shaken, white-faced. "What's wrong, Yali?" he asked. Looking as if she were about to cry, the biologist replied, "I asked permission to work with Wonderly on her samples from the ring. He went hyperbolic. I thought he'd have a stroke."
"He denied you permission?"
"He screamed at me. He threatened to send me back to Earth with a reprimand and a negative recommendation." Habib had never seen Negroponte appear cowed or frightened. It surprised him. Something stirred inside him. He felt his cheeks flush. "He can't do that."
"Can't he?" she said, tears brimming in her eyes.
Anger. Habib realized it was the heat of anger rising inside him. Urbain has hurt her, humiliated her, made her cry. For one of the rare times in his life, Habib acted impulsively. He seized Negroponte's wrist with one hand and slid open the door to Urbain's office with the other. Practically dragging the biologist after him, he stormed into Urbain's office. "What is this?" Urbain demanded, looking up. "You have no right to threaten members of your staff," Habib said, wagging an accusing finger at his chief. Marching up to Urbain's desk, he released Negroponte's wrist. "You must apologize to Dr. Negroponte."
"Apologize? Dr. Negroponte is a capable biologist, so capable that Dr. Wonderly is seeking her help in analyzing her samples from the rings. And you threaten her? You scream at her?"
Visibly trembling, Urbain got to his feet.
"I am the director of this scientific staff, and I will not tolerate such insolence."
Habib did not back off one millimeter.
"You will apologize to Dr. Negroponte. Now."
"What's going on here?"
Urbain shouted. "Have you both gone insane? Has everyone gone mad?"
"Dr. Negroponte is needed to analyze the ring samples. It is wrong for you to deny her permission to do so."
"Titan Alpha is the first priority here. Titan Alpha is dead or asleep. You don't need your best biologist to stare at blank data screens."
"You..."
Urbain seemed to totter momentarily. He sank back into his chair. Suddenly, Habib realized the enormity of what he was doing, yet the anger was still simmering inside him.
"Let her work with Wonderly," he said more reasonably. "If they find living organisms in the ring particles, it will be to your credit. It will take some of the sting out of Alpha's failure."
"Failure?"
Urbain's eyes flashed.
"Alpha is not a failure."
"I am not a failure. No one has said that you are.
But it's non-productive to keep your biologists twiddling their thumbs until you make contact with the machine again."
"I will decide what is productive and what is not," Urbain said sharply.
Habib took a breath. The blazing anger he had felt when he'd seen Negroponte close to tears had abated. But now that he had taken a stand, he could not back down. "Dr. Urbain," he said slowly, "if you do not allow Dr. Negroponte to work temporarily with Dr. Wonderly, I will get the entire scientific staff to stop work." He heard Yolanda's sudden gasp of surprise, but he didn't take his eyes off Urbain. The chief scientist sputtered.
"A work stoppage? A strike? You can't... It would be illegal, unjustified."
"Most of your staff is doing nothing of importance now anyway. They'll refuse to work for you if you continue acting like a dictator instead of a colleague."
"Dictator? Me?"
"Allow her to work with Wonderly," Habib said, almost placatingly. "It will be to your credit, I assure you." Urbain opened his mouth, closed it again. His eyes moved from Habib to Negroponte.
"I really have nothing to do," she said softly, almost whispering, "as long as Alpha is silent."
"Go," Urbain snapped.
Go work with Wanderley.
Thank you, sir, she said.
Keep me informed of your progress. I want daily reports.
Yes, of course.
She reached out and took Habib's hand. Together they walked back to the still open door, leaving Urbain sitting at his desk looking shocked, bewildered. Habib stopped at the door and turned back toward Urbain.
Oh, I should tell you. The chief of maintenance needs me to help him on the problem of the electrical outages we've been suffering.
Urbain said nothing. He simply stared as the two of them left his office hand in hand. Sinking his head to the desktop, Urbain wanted to weep.
It's all falling apart, he thought miserably. They are leaving me, leaving Alpha to remain mute and inert on Titan. I've lost control of my creation, and now I'm starting to lose control of my staff. What can I do? What can I do?
14 April, 2096. Morning. Chris Cardenas smiled at Gaeta, who was sleeping soundly beside her. He's all right, she repeated silently for the thousandth time. He got through the rings, and he's not hurt. He's finished with these wild stunts. He's never going to risk his life again. Never going to leave me again. She slipped out of bed and padded to the lavatory, still smiling.
The smell of freshly brewed coffee woke Holly. She'd set the coffee machine for 7 a.m. It was better than an alarm clock for her. It wasn't real coffee, she knew. The habitat's climate wasn't right for growing coffee, even at the end caps. The biotechnicians had produced an ersatz coffee by genetically engineering one of the bean crops the farms could grow. They'd even come up with a completely caffeine-free variation, although Holly preferred the high-octane version. Slipping out of bed, she wondered what Raoul was doing at this moment. We're drifting apart, she realized. He'd been wholly involved with Manny's mission to the rings, while Holly herself was completely tied up in the election campaign. Wish I'd never decided to run for office, Holly said to herself as she brushed her teeth. She stared at her image in the mirror above the sink. But Malcolm's just plain wrong. We can't mine the rings if there are living creatures in them. And we've got to find out some way to allow population growth before women start getting themselves pregnant. Our whole society could fall apart once the women decide to ignore the ZPG protocol, break one law, and what's to hold you to obeying all the others? Wearily, she trudged to the kitchen and poured herself a cup of the strong black coffee. Sitting at the little table, Holly asked herself, how can I counter Malcolm's idea of using the profits we make from mining the rings to support population growth? She spent the morning tussling with that problem.
Still in bed, Wanamaker said to Pancho, you know, you're a hell of a pilot. I didn't realize that until today. She grinned at him. And you're a hell of a lover, Jake. But I knew that all along. They laughed together. Pancho started to get out of bed, but he reached for her lean, long-limbed body. We've got nothing on the calendar, he said, pulling her close. Let's spend the day in bed. Maybe you got nothing to do, Pancho said, pushing gently away from him. But I gotta go over to Holly and help her figure out her next move. Frowning, Wanamaker grumbled, what is this? You're not her campaign manager, are you?
Sorta. Leastways, I can give her the benefit of my experience dealing with slime balls like Everly.
When did you ever... Corporate politics, remember? Remember Martin Humphreys? He wasn't a slime ball, Wanamaker said. A megalomaniac, maybe, but not a slime ball. As she got out of bed, Pancho said, yeah, well, anyway, politics is politics, and Holly needs all the help I can give her. Wanamaker sighed deeply. Okay. You go play politics with your sister. If you want me, you know where I'll be. Pancho laughed. My hero.
Nadia Wanderley had forced herself to get a good night's rest. She'd even managed to sleep, despite her eagerness to start working with Negroponte on the ice samples. Her sleep had been troubled by dreams, although she couldn't remember anything specific from them once she'd awakened. Just a disturbing feeling that something was wrong. Everly, she realized.